What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the second episode of If the LGBTQ Community Wasn't So Loud, Would the Church Still Be Silent? My name is Taisha Holt, and I express the gospel in a way that brings truth to the LGBTQ community and equip the body of believers on how to effectively reach those that practice homosexuality. I'm sure you're fully aware of how quickly the LGBTQ community has become one of the most complex and controversial topics of our time. On this podcast, we are really going to take the time to dissect what homosexuality is and not what the world has made it out to be. If you remember from the first episode, we touched on understanding what does coming out really mean. In order for a person to come out of the closet, they first have to feel trapped in one. So in order for us to fully understand the lifestyle of homosexuality, I think it's very important to understand what happened in that closet before they came out. So let's dive right in. When a person begins to relinquish their birth identity because they're unable to feel connected to it or confident in it, we must understand how long they were in the closet under the duress of unremitting, tormenting same-sex desires before they made the decision to surrender to these emotions and come out of the closet. I say surrender because most people think a person coming out is a sign of celebration, when in reality, it's a sign of surrender. They're surrendering to their same-sex attractions because they have yet to find ways to endure or understand where it came from. If you remember from the first episode, we talked about what it means for a person to come out and how much of themselves they have to lose in order to do so. On this episode, we're going to explore what the inside of that closet looks like for some. And this is just the beginning. We are only scratching the surface. I'm telling you, if you continue to listen to this podcast, we are going to dissect every layer of what homosexuality is. Homosexuality is so much more deeper than a person coming out as gay. And we don't hear enough people talk about what it was like for them in that closet before they came out. The first thing I want you to understand is everybody within the LGBTQ community, they all started out as someone's little boy or little girl. Just let that sink in. Something happened that made them believe they had no other choice but to be gay. And whatever happened, I can almost assure you it started with that little boy or little girl perception of life or childhood trauma. Have you ever took the time to really think about what it was like for that little boy or little girl who started to become aware they had a same-sex attraction? I witness a lot of people, especially parents, become so mentally distraught when they find out their kids are battling with same-sex attraction or come out as gay. My number one question to the parents is always, if you're this distraught and you're not the one physically going through it, how do you think your child feels? Have you ever thought about how scary it was for the person that started to have these same-sex attractions? Let's step into the closet that everybody seems to be so proud to walk out of. See, when a person first begins to recognize they have a same-sex attraction, it comes out of nowhere. It's not planned. It's not sought after. It just happens. And boy, when it happens, it happens. When an individual first encounters this emotion, it doesn't bring on a level of excitement, joy, or happiness. The first emotion is confusion and a very high level of fear, dislike, discomfort, and anger. The fear comes from the unknown. Where did this feeling come from? And how can I get rid of it? The dislike comes from you thinking something is extremely wrong with you for having this emotion. The discomfort kicks in when your body is fully aware that this emotion is real, but mentally something is not adding up. And what starts to happen to a person that's having these very strong same-sex attractions, their emotions start to create a mental blockage that forces them into a mental state where they begin to question everything about themselves, especially their identity. Many people spend years in this closet asking themselves repeatedly, what's going on with me? What's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? This mental state is so tormenting. It is best described as being trapped in a closet which is one of the main reasons why so many people just want to come out. Now, anger kicks in when you can't find the answers to your questions while you're in that closet trying to figure out where this emotion came from. And you slowly start to define your identity based off that one emotion. In the beginning, for a person that's experiencing same-sex attractions, it's very scary, especially when you get to the part where you want to share with someone what you're going through and what you're feeling, but you fear exposing this emotion because you don't know how a person is going to react if you tell them you're the one having it. In the beginning, everyone experiencing this emotion is ashamed and disgusted by this feeling. And they fear if they share it with someone, they're also going to be ashamed and disgusted by them having this emotion. So most people choose not to say a word and stay in the closet nobody knows they're trapped in. So before we go deeper into this closet, let's look at the book of James, starting at chapter 1, verse 13. You will learn very quickly that I wholeheartedly believe all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness according to the call God has over your life, because nobody knows everything. But this thing called homosexuality, I know it like the back of my hand. So let's look at the book of James, chapter 1, starting at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God does not tempt anyone by giving them a same-sex attraction. The Lord can't tempt you with evil. It's impossible for him to do so. But I've learned that most people only believe in Jesus because they dislike what they heard about the devil, so they grow up ignoring the warnings God gave us about the devil and his deceptive ways. Verse 14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Here's what you need to understand about the devil. The devil can only tempt you in the areas of sin you're already attracted to. Once you pick your sin, the devil starts to entice you to practice that sin. Verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. When a person, same-sex attractions, meets physical intimacy, then and only then it gives birth to sin. And the more and more you practice homosexuality, it starts to give birth to a depraved mindset, which is best described in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 28 through 32. Which I strongly encourage you to read. Same-sex attraction is a real emotion. Homosexuality is a learned behavior. Now let's go deeper into that closet. I entered the closet in third grade, and I spent 7 years of my life there before coming out. I entered into this closet after dealing with the neglect and abandonment from my father walking out on me. I want to say around kindergarten, I had begun to question my existence and a lot of things about life because I didn't understand why my father didn't love me, what was wrong with me that caused him to walk out of my life. So that brought on my first trigger to a stronghold I wasn't aware of yet. Over time, I developed a hate for all males growing up. See, as a girl, I knew I was a daddy's girl, but I didn't have a dad to be a daddy's girl with. So every man I encountered, I would search for my father in them. Unfortunately for me growing up, all I was exposed to was men that also abandoned their children and sexually, physically, and mentally abused the women they were with. So after witnessing that for so long, I developed the belief that all men hurt women and children. The second trigger to my stronghold was when my older sister started to mistreat me. She had begun to drown me in pools when we would go swimming, and before I passed out, she would lift me out of the water. She would attempt to suffocate me in clothes bins by sitting on the lid for long periods of time. I would scream and cry for help, trying to escape. She would also attempt to suffocate me by rolling me up in the living room carpet for long periods of time. And in order for me to spend any time with her, I would have to go through some sort of cruel treatment. I would have to lay on my stomach, and she would get a sewing needle and poke my left thigh 100 times, then my right thigh 100 times. with that sewing needle. And that was the only way I was able to enter into her room to spend time with her. And her form of abuse was always presented as a game, which was very hard for me to recognize the abuse at an early age because she always did it with a smile on her face and welcomed me with open arms before the abuse took place. And the third trigger that opened the door to this closet was when my mom left us in the care of older cousins. We ran across a pornography film. And after watching it several times, my older cousins decided to make up a game where we would imitate what we watched on the films on each other. And all of my cousins were girls at the time. So we started playing these games from third grade to seventh grade. We would make up sexual games during the day and play them out on each other at night. And this happened before I knew what gay was or what the term meant. I was already performing oral sex on my girl cousins from third grade to seventh grade. And now the main trigger that really opened the door to this closet was when we introduced my mom's boyfriend's son to the games and he rejected me because my other girl cousins had real intercourse with him and I was more comfortable playing the game how we did before we introduced him to it. My reason being because when I watched pornography, the men would choke, slap, and talk really mean to the women. But when I reverted my attention to women on women on the films, they were more loving, more passionate, and more kind. So in my mind, I believe that if I had real sexual intercourse with my stepbrother, then he would treat me how I saw the men treat the women on the films. And that triggered the hurt I still carried from my dad leaving me. I hope you see how this door is slowly starting to open. I knew I had a same-sex attraction in third grade. I was fully aware of this emotion. I was secretly in love with my mom's best friend and some of my girl cousins. But I had no idea where it came from. But this night, my attraction became my identity. I believe it was around fourth or fifth grade, playing our sexual games. My stepbrother rejected me again because I didn't want to have real intercourse with him. And when he rejected me this time, I ran into my room, stuffed my underwear with a pair of socks, climbed on top of one of my girl cousins, and for the first time, I heard a girl say, "You feel like a real boy. Don't stop. Keep going. This feels good." In that moment, I made up in my mind, I am supposed to be a boy. I am supposed to be the one that make girls feel good. It's up to me to take care of them and make sure that other men don't hurt them. Now, I was deep in that closet. I was always aware that I had a same-sex attraction, but now the attraction became my identity. And being trapped in this closet is like being locked up in a basement, but you have the key. The key is your appearance. The key is your identity, what you see when you look at yourself. But in this closet, and it's dark in there, you're close enough to unlock it. But while you're holding the key and understanding your thoughts are wrong and your emotions are wrong, you shouldn't be feeling this way. When you start to open the door and accept yourself based off your identity, your true identity, you know your thoughts are wrong. The moment you start to ignore the lies, there's another level of fear that arises and you start to ask yourself, what are the consequences if I open this door and ignore these same-sex attractions and try to forget about these emotions? What will I lose? How will I feel? So you slowly set the key down in the closet and you begin to ask yourself, am I really gay? And if I am, who would accept me? Will my mom accept me? Will my dad accept me? Will my siblings accept me? Will my friends accept me? And what if they don't accept me? What does that mean? And your response to yourself is based off your personal perception of life through the lens of your heartache and pain. You start to tell yourself, when I come out, because I'm coming out, anybody that don't accept me can't love me because gay is who I am. Not what I'm going through. I spent years in this closet figuring that out, and I don't have to prove it to anyone that doesn't love me. then you start to mentally prepare yourself to experience all the negative things you've heard about those coming out. You start to replay in your mind all the negative slurs you've heard about homosexuality that you didn't even know you were paying attention to during the time you heard them. And in that closet, you start to make these personal vows to yourself on how you're going to stand your ground and never change if you hear some of those same negative slurs directed towards you, especially if they're coming from the church. In this closet, it feels like you're mentally being tormented day and night, and you're begging, you're screaming, you're crying for God to just give you an answer to what you should do, even though you already made up in your mind what you're going to do. But you tell yourself, if you're Jesus, then you can take this feeling away from me. And if you don't, then this is who I am. This is who you created me to be. So you ask Jesus, you beg him to release you from this emotion, because nobody else aside from you and him are aware that you have this feeling. And the more you scream, the more you cry, the more you pray, you feel God says nothing, when the answer is your identity. The answer is right in front of you. But because you're so deep in this closet, the only time you feel okay to come out safely is when you start to adjust to the darkness that surrounds you. You start to train yourself to take pride in your same-sex attraction, to fight as hard as you can to avoid going back into that terrifying place called the closet. That's why you hear people within the LGBTQ community say things like, I felt trapped in the wrong body before coming out. I felt like God made a mistake. I didn't ask for this emotion, so I had to be born this way. By saying all that, what they are really trying to translate is that you don't know what happened in that closet, which is why I'm coming out. Everything the LGBTQ community does represents the search to the questions they never found the answers to cure their unwanted same-sex emotions when they were in that closet, which is why they create their own response to those questions they never asked in the beginning or knew how to articulate during the time these questions came to mind in that closet. Now that you have a glimpse into the closet, we should grow and understand how to separate the practice of homosexuality from the person. Homosexuality is not a person. It's the sexual behavior they are practicing. You must understand that, while at the same time being mindful that the person carrying same-sex attraction has learned to connect this attraction only to homosexuality and their identity. Same-sex attraction is a stronghold that develops over time. Homosexuality is a way to cope with that particular stronghold. A person battling with same-sex attraction, they may not be able to distinguish the difference between the two, and that's where we come in. That's the purpose of this podcast, to understand homosexuality and not what the world has made it out to be. Being gay is not the root issue within the LGBTQ community. It's the result of the unresolved root issue. We have to effectively learn ways on how to guide those seeking the way out back into that closet, to dig under all those lies and search for the answers to what opened the door to that closet they came out of and made them believe their only option was to be gay. Once a person begins to see their homosexual behavior as a coping mechanism to their strongholds, they will be able to properly challenge their behavior and learn to endure with those same-sex desires, even if they never go away. We can't ignore the fact that having a same-sex attraction is real. And most people that battle with same-sex attraction are not taught to view that as an attack on their identity. That's why the LGBTQ community believes being gay is an identity. If we begin to teach people how to spiritually view homosexuality, we can help those seeking a way out to find freedom, healing, and deliverance much earlier on in the battle. Same-sex attraction is an attack on your identity. It's not a identity. On the next episode, I am going to share with you what happened when I came out of this closet. And boy, oh boy, no one could have prepared me for what I was going to experience when I came out. In the meantime, ask yourself, if the LGBTQ community wasn't so loud, would the church still be silent?